This is The Program with Andrew Walker and Scott Rintoul.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Which one of you is being dispatched to Sweden to monitor Elias Patterson's thumb?
Well, both of us. We spare no expense.
Well, it'll be me because you know which one of us is the thumbs up guy and which one of us is the thumbs down guy. So they're
not
sending
true.
Walker.
Yes, Captain Positive and Captain Negative. Yeah,
hey,
for sure.
Which one of us is no thumbs guy? That's our worry. That that they have to amputate. You never know. It's gonna be okay. We're telling everyone it's gonna be okay. Hey, we're just talking. Right. We're talking about the Caps, like.
Yep.
They've won president's trophies. We've waited so long for them to get over the hump and then just have this sense of excitement and all hands on deck like they have right now. But of all the years, right, it's so funny that this year wasn't supposed to be the year. They lost 5, 6, 7 regulars from their team a year ago. They weren't in the conversation for the president's trophy. Braden Holtby didn't start game one of the playoffs. Why now? Like, what's been the biggest difference that you see?
You know, I think there's a couple of things. Like, they made a very small move at the deadline. You know, I asked a couple guys I know who are really into the analytics and know this stuff better than I do. Was there anything that stood out for you? And they said that, really, if you look at it, Washington's numbers really started changing for the better after they got Kempe. And I think it says that, first of all, that they found a bit of a diamond in a rough there. But I think it also showed that they kind of had a bit of a hole on their blue line. And he kind of helped it a bit. You know, I think Madison Bowie is going to be a good player, but he wasn't ready for that. And once they made that change, a lot of their numbers started changing for the better. So I think a couple of small depth moves like that helped make them a little bit better. That's number one. But number two, you know, I think in some ways they created an impression that they weren't going to be that good. You know, Brian McClellan, the GM, and Trotz had talked about a two-year window, a window that ended last year. And all of a sudden, I think there were no expectations on them. And when's the last time there have been no expectations on that team? I think Ovechkin had a great year this year. Carlson had a great year this year. You know, Kuznetsov had a great year this year. Lars Eller has turned into a much better player. But I don't think overall they're as good as they were the last couple years. But I think sometimes when the heat comes off you and you believe yourself, you're an underdog, you make a couple of small moves that makes you better, and something goes your way. Like, I think Holtby rediscovering his game, maybe he just needed a rest. I think there's a lot of things we're going to look at here if the Capitals win the Cup, and we're going to say, you know what, not even this organization believed they could win this year. And I don't know, Andrew, how you can discount that as being a factor, that maybe the pressure was off and that allowed a lot of other guys to ease into what was expected of them this season.
Well, and it's funny, Elliot, we look at decisions in retrospect, and when teams win, it's easy to justify decisions. People were all over Barry Trotz for starting Grubauer, and one of the things it gave them was a card to play. I'm not suggesting that's why he started Grubauer over Holtby, mm-hmm. but it gave them a card to play, and it gave them a way to turn that series around. On the subject of Barry Trotz, as this run has continued, how has it changed the conversation about Barry Trotz's future in Washington?
It's a great question because I don't think anybody really knows the answer to that at this time. I mean, you know, you all saw what he said to John Tortorella. I don't think this is a guy who was expecting to come back. As far as I can tell, I don't think they've had a single negotiation over his contract all season. So, I mean, we're all kind of sitting here, and they're not going to talk about it now, and I think, you know, the one thing I do know is at the end of last season, there was a lot of frustration and there was a lot of finger pointing. And nobody would ever go on record about it, but, you know, it happened. And the difficult thing in terms of writing and talking about it is, you know, it was very difficult to pinpoint, you know, who kind of said what or what was kind of said about each other. But there was a lot of anger and disappointment. You know, Brian McClellan didn't do his media conference after they lost for a few weeks, and that rarely happens. But they needed time. And, you know, I think that, you know, sometimes when that happens, and you go into this year, and you know he's in the last year of his contract, you know there's two assistants that got extensions, and you're kind of sitting here and you're saying, okay, this is what's going to, and you don't think you're going to win. So you're kind of sitting here and you're saying, okay, at the end of this year, we'll do what we need to do. Well, now look where we are, and what do you do? And, you know, I have to tell you, there's only one other job opening in the league right now, and it's the Rangers. And I don't think Trotz is kind of what they want. I think what they want is somebody new. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going to happen with Trotz here, but it's going to be one of the more fascinating stories of the offseason.
Elliot Friedman joins us on the program Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks in the Stanley Cup playoffs. What did you make of, and I know this creeps up, and it certainly happened last year in Ottawa, but the Winnipeg ticket thing and the sellout, not a sellout, the price of tickets. I couldn't really get my head around everything I read today.
Now, first of all, I don't pay attention to this stuff. Was it a sellout there last night?
I don't know. I think so. It was reported as a sellout, and people said, well, you could still get ridiculously expensive tickets from Ticketmaster, and they weren't all sold. So some people were going in on Winnipeg as a hockey market, and then their fans defend it. I mean, I don't think there was much of an excuse for Ottawa last year, because we all know the troubles they had selling out that building.
Were those visiting team holds that were let go?
Prior to the game? I don't know.
Yeah.
I would assume so. It's kind of why I'm asking you.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like Andrew, like at this time of year, I don't really have a lot of time to pay attention to this kind of stuff. So, I mean, look, if you're telling me that there were, like, the one thing I did hear was, I guess people made comments about it not being a sellout.
Yes.
And I said, this game wasn't sold out. And they told me that there were some tickets available in the afternoon. And I said, were those the visitor holds? And nobody could really answer my question. And for those of you who are not familiar with what I'm talking about here, the visiting team gets a certain amount of tickets for every game. And if they don't want them, then in the afternoon beforehand, they get released to the general public.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's what it was. Now, do we know for sure they weren't all bought up?
I don't know for sure. I just saw some notable reporters kind of taking shots that oh boy, Winnipeg can't sell out their game, and I couldn't really get to the bottom of it. Anyway, we don't have to get into
that. Well, all I would say is this. Like, you know, I'm sure that there are people in U.S. markets who, if that was true, they would say Canada would kill them if it happened to them.
Yes.
And that's true, we would. That said, I don't think Winnipeg needs anybody's justification as to what a great mm-hmm. hockey market it is. I mean, I don't know. Let people fight it out. I'll worry about something else.
So we talk about windows a lot, right? Like
yeah.
Your window to win. And I was thinking about the teams left and the teams that have just left us. I mean, no one's going to be in on Pittsburgh because they've won a couple already. Winnipeg's going to be disappointed if they don't make the final at this point. But they're on the rise. We're not going to have the knives out for them. Same with Vegas. Same with Washington. Tampa's a team I wonder about. And Nashville, who was just eliminated. Because, like, we've lauded Nashville for so long now, right? Like, this is how you build it. This team is going to be a cup contender. And all of a sudden, like, now the conversation changes a little bit to, hey, how come you guys haven't won? I'm not saying it's fair, but what about their window and Tampa's window, who appears to be in some trouble?
I think that Nashville's window is still pretty large. Like, they've got... Like, Rene, no matter how you feel about him as a goalie, he's got one more year under contract, then he's going to be 30, going on 37. So he's not going to be making $7 million after next year.
Right.
So, you know, that gives you some flexibility. You've got to deal with Ryan Ellis between now and the end of next year, and you've got to deal with Roman Josi in 2 years, right? And is there anybody after that? I mean, they're locked. All their guys are locked in.
Forsberg's done. Yeah. Arvidsson is done, right? They're all
Forsberg's
signed up.
Forsberg's got one of the best contracts in the NHL. Johansson signed. Arvidsson signed. You know, Ekholm has signed a 6-year deal a couple of years ago. Like, they've got some time. Like, I think their window is really large. I mean, you know, they're going to have to decide what they want to do. And if you heard Laviolette and Poile the other day, you know, they just said we plan on coming back with pretty much the same group. And if I was them, I would too. I think their window is really large.
Fiala's the only guy. He's got a year left and then is an RFA. That's it.
Okay, well, I mean, you'll have to deal with that. That's for sure. But next year's a big year for him. He's got to have a huge season. You know, Tampa's an interesting one because they got to deal with Kucherov. And, you know, Kucherov has kind of had a weird playoff. He's had moments where he's been really good, and he's had some really weird moments, like getting beat on icings, looking really frustrated. He's kind of had a weird playoff. But Kucherov, you know, made it pretty clear that last time they used the full weight of the CBA on him, and next time he's going to use the full weight of the CBA on them. So they're going to have a big one that they're going to have to deal with. You know, the one thing about Tampa is they appear to have drafted and developed pretty well. They've got a lot of bodies. They've got a lot of prospects. You know, I think that you have to believe that the way they approach things, they're going to be a contender for quite a while. But there's no question the biggest thing is going to come down to, Andrew, what is Kucherov's number and how do you make that work?
Speaking of numbers, Elliot, you pointed out in your latest 31 Thoughts what the LA Kings were doing, offering up a job basically for data consolidation, trying to make all of these numbers make sense, find patterns, that sort of thing. And we see this around pro sports, teams beefing up what we generally refer to as their analytics department. Which teams are employing those methods best right now in the National Hockey League?
You know, I think that's in some ways it's kind of hard to say. I think a lot of teams look at it. I think it'll be interesting to see what Kyle Dubas does in Toronto, because he's a guy, like, I think he kind of gets painted a little bit unfairly, Dubas, but there's no question he believes in it and will want the information at his fingertips and decide how he wants to use it. You know, I think Nashville does. I think most teams are dipping their toe in it. I mean, the one team I know of that really doesn't like it is Anaheim. Like, they are far, far to the other end of the scale. I think a lot of other teams are dabbling in it to some degree. You know, I still think the decisions that people are kind of wondering about, like, one of the great analytic finds is Marchessault, because he had a very high goals per 60 minutes rate. And that's why the Florida guys took a real chance on him. And they've turned out to be totally right in what they looked at. But I still think, you know, I still think that we are still trying to find out the exact idea of what we're looking for here. And one of the areas, guys, I think that is really, people are really trying to figure out is the draft. And is there a way you can take a look at a player from any league and say, these are his stats in this league. What is the history of that success in the NHL? And that is a thing that teams are really going at hard. Like I wrote last week, Scott, that there was a team that believed in the CHL, a save percentage under 910. There were very few success stories. Mm-hmm. And two of the best are outliers, are Braden Holtby and Matt Murray. But there's a lot of evidence backing that up. So I think Scott, it's all over the place. I just think that people still aren't convinced yet that we have found the holy grail. Like, I think they found it in baseball, and I think they found it in basketball, and they believe they're finally getting close to finding it in football.
Before we let you go, do you know what the Laurel Yanni controversy is? Have you
I saw this briefly today. I took a long nap today, so I'm not as up on the internet as I was. I saw this briefly.
Yeah.
What is this?
So do you remember the whole gold dress, blue dress thing of a couple of years ago? It's the audio equivalent of that. All right, so we're going to play you a clip. You tell us what you hear.
Okay.
Laurel.
What was it?
I heard three Laurels.
Okay, yeah, me too. And Rintoul hears Yanni.
What?
Yeah, is that insane?
Elliot, I set out to prove
Rintoul,
a point.
And you're a weirdo.
Hey, Elliot. Elliot, you know what's awesome? 2.5 hours I've trolled these guys, and they're so easy to trick, man. So easy to trick.
Well, but some people hear it.
No, they don't. You guys are gullible as ever, man. I'm so glad you guys bought in.
No, that's exactly the same with the gold dress, blue dress
you
thing.
You guys are so easy to fool. Elliot, thank you.
All right.
I believe it.
All right.
All right. Have a good one.
Sportsnet 650.